morning. It is Friday again. It's almost time for the weekend. Even on this shortened week where we had public holiday was on Monday. I almost said public Monday on a holiday. That would be nice. Nick, how was your public holiday?
My public holiday was spent writing about the stuff that I saw at Gamescom before Gamescom was officially finished.
That's what we like to hear. Clinton, hi.
Hello. I don't remember what I did.
Must have been good then.
No.
In a drunken stupor.
No. I watched the first two Harry Potter movies again because I've not watched them since they came out more than a decade ago to see if they hold up. And I'm planning to watch the other six movies as well. And something about the first two Harry Potter movies, they are the exact same movie. They follow the exact same pattern. Anyway.
Yeah. Do they hold up after all these years?
The biggest thing that holds up is the music.
Okay.
You hear that main theme and you're like, I'm going on an adventure, and it's great.
Who did the soundtrack for that? Because I think it's the same guy who did Star Wars. I want to say John Hughes, but it's not John Hughes, is it? John Williams. That was his name. No. John Williams.
Can't remember.
Well, he's been responsible for like most of the iconic music that you'll know. I mean, it's Star Wars, Superman.
Yeah.
What else? Jurassic Park. Yeah, he's done a fair few soundtracks.
Well, I didn't do much, just played a little bit of games. But a company that's had a little bit of a worse Women's Day than everybody else, I suppose, was the, I don't think you can call them pen manufacturer. It's more like an office supply manufacturer.
Yes.
Maker called Bic.
Yeah.
They ran into a bit of trouble with Twitter and, I suppose, South African women in general.
I think it was just women in general.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. It's all around the world.
Yeah, it landed in The Guardian at one point.
Yeah, that's true. In case you don't know what we're talking about, Bic decided to congratulate's the wrong word.
Celebrate the spirit of National Women's Day.
There we go. And they put out a Facebook advert that had people's knickers in a knot.
I am going to describe it to you in case you have not seen it. There is a very nice picture of a very professional-looking lady. She's got a suit jacket and everything, and that's all fine. But it's the text next to her, which offended everybody, and it reads, "Look like a girl, act like a lady, think like a man, work like a boss." Yes, on Women's Day, Bic suggested to the women of South Africa and the world to think like a man amongst those other three quite silly things.
It's not the first time Bic's done something like this either. I mean, they got nailed for releasing a line of pink pens called
Yes,
For Her. The pen that fits snugly in a woman's hand.
Yeah.
And as you pointed out before we started talking about it, that Ellen DeGeneres ripped that apart as well. And I remember her saying, oh, she's been using man pens all these years. Yeah, she never knew. But that is... Why do you think, without sounding weird, why do you think people find it offensive? Besides for think like a man, I think one of the other statements in that is also alarming was the first line.
Look like a girl.
Exactly. So do professional women need to look like little girls now?
Well, I mean, it's just basically endemic of essentially a patriarchal culture under which we live, where people don't actually think before they open their mouths. You know, you could apply this across, you know, race, across sex, across anything. It's like, think of like something that you are not or someone you are not, because clearly they have the right idea. I mean, it's going to be offensive to anybody in any context. What blows my mind, though, is that, you know, someone in an ad copy agency wrote that, which is bad enough. But then someone in a position of power with the budget to okay this campaign then went, yeah, that's a good advert. We'll stick that on Twitter and on Facebook.
Yeah, I wonder how many people actually proofread that and gave their signature on it.
And just the reason we're pointing this out, guys, is because we have a similar job. We write stories that go on the internet. We have an editorial team with an editor and an editor-in-chief who checks everything that goes out. And it blows our mind that it would go online without somebody having half a brain to say,
this is probably a bad idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's, but like I said, it's just endemic of patriarchal culture. I mean, the most astonishing thing for me is that, you know, well, as we've said, someone looked at this and saw absolutely no problem with it. You know, there's like, because I've basically been covering the games industry for the last 6 or 7 years, you know, there's a lot of examples of this that happened in gaming. I mean, do you remember, I think it was about 2 or 3 years ago when Hitman Absolution was on its way out?
Yeah.
And there was an advert where Agent 47 basically beat up and killed several women dressed up as bondage nuns.
I remember that.
And, you know, the furor caught the developers completely by surprise, but you're sitting there going, really? You were surprised at the reaction of this? This is ridiculous and revolting. And on top of everything else, it's a pretty crap ad for your product.
But with that said, I mean, the game's been out for a couple of years now. Once you got to that part in the game, you kind of realize, you're like, oh, that's what it was about. It was their execution that was wrong, because obviously there was no context to what was happening. But in the game, it obviously gave you context that these nuns, well, they were dressed up as nuns. They weren't actually nuns. They were assassins and they were out to kill you. But that once again just proves context is key. And you can't just put anything on the internet and just sit back and watch it roll by. People will pick it up. And if you put something on the internet, it's forever. And
yeah, well,
people tweeted to Beck. They wrote to them on Facebook. And then we also discovered not really relevant. Well, it's not relevant to this one. But in May. They posted another little picture with an inspirational quote, and they quoted Bill Cosby.
Yeah. Yes, I am going to. I have actually retweeted it on my personal Twitter account because it's still up there, and Beck has not taken it down. What's today's date? The 14th of August?
Yep.
Today's the 14th of August, so from May the 15th to August 14th. It's 2 months. Still up. It's a picture of two little kids. It's very cute. They're in little homemade box cars. They're wearing helmets and whatever. It says, hashtag motherly love with Beck. That's all fine. It was probably put out for Mother's Day or something. And it says, in order to succeed, your desire for success should be greater than your fear of failure. Bill Cosby.
Yeah, someone over at Big Social Media should really start to take their job a bit more seriously.
Wow.
But they did apologize.
Well, yeah, you know.
Well, not for the Bill Cosby
thing. No, not for the Bill Cosby one. But
that's still knocking about.
Is that why you're retreating it in the hope that they'll notice and apologize for that too?
Yes. Well, I just want them to take it down. It's so short-sighted and idiotic.
Yeah. Well, they did apologize in South Africa. But Nick, you mentioned that the South African apology was better than how the UK responded.
It wasn't the UK. I don't think it was the UK. I think it was the international account. I mean, I could be wrong on this one. So, but the thing is that usually when apologies are issued, they're like, sorry if you were offended, which is like the most non-apology you can ever get in.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I'm sorry that you got no sense of humor. No, it's not. You've offended me. Say sorry for that. Whereas the local BIC Twitter account said, we're really sorry we got this wrong, which is very rare that you see a company do that. Although, having said that, BIC wasn't the only company on Twitter who held their hands up and admitted wrong. Tinder did the same thing on Thursday. I don't know if you guys saw this. Basically, Tinder had a meltdown on Twitter this week because Vanity Fair published an article about dating, which I think they used the word dating apocalypse at one point, and Tinder was in the headline as well. And they basically said that, you know, all the romance in the dating scene is kind of being sucked out of it by apps like Tinder and like OkCupid and like Happening and things like that. And Tinder just absolutely went ballistic and started screaming via Twitter at the author of the piece, saying, you know, our data, you know, our app helps people find love, and it's so bad that you only interviewed a small amount of people, and we're not a hookup app, and blah, 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 blah. And then, like, you know, Thursday they went,
Perhaps we did get a little bit cross.
I think they use the word, we get very passionate.
That's an appropriate word.
But they are a dating app.
Well, yeah, they are a dating app, but what they object to is that their class is a hookup app.
Which it is. You don't go into Tinder looking for friends.
I don't go into Tinder.
That being said, right, I've come across a few galleries online of people who are on Tinder just to troll and whatever. And just
as Clint does.
Just aside from the trolling posts, there's also posts of people who just find ridiculous profiles. And there's so many profiles that people say, I'm on here to just friends or whatever, that's fine. But there's so many people like, I'm in a relationship, don't try that. But they still have a Tinder account and they're still knocking about swiping left and right. Why? Why would you still have the account? Why would you still be speaking to people on a dating / hookup app?
Oh, well, that's the thing, I've never used Tinder. That's one of those things that I'm sort of, you know, probably shouldn't be, but am vaguely proud of. I've never done the Macarena. I've never used Tinder, and I've never seen the video of Miley Cyrus at the MTV Music Awards of her twerking. I've heard about it, never seen it.
No, I'll have to go and scrub my brain again.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, here's a question for you. Do you think Tinder has any right to be as aggravated as they were about the idea that they're being classed as a hookup app?
Well, I don't know. Do you know people... I have a feeling that the person who was replying to them wasn't just like the PR person. I think somebody higher up was like, oh, I'm taking over the account to go after a witch hunt and everything. Maybe, you know, when you are higher up in a business that maybe you help create or whatever, and people come and say, oh, I'm going to classify you as this, and you're not necessarily that. I can see why people would get irritated, but since when has Twitter been a good platform to have any kind of civil discourse? It's literally the worst way. I can think of carrier pigeons as being a better way to carry out an argument than Twitter. And they still decided to go on there and send out tweet after tweet. I can see where they're coming from, but they chose the wrong place and the wrong way to go about it.
If you ask people what is the most popular dating app, they'll say Tinder.
No, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, I just opened the webpage now, and they have a little slideshow on the main screen that obviously is for representation purposes. And in all of those images, save for two, is a guy and a girl in like a nice embrace. Not like people in a large group where you can meet new friends. It's a single guy and a girl, and they're portrayed to be in a relationship of some sorts. So I definitely think they're a dating app. They can throw their toys as much as out of the cot as they want to.
I know, but they don't shy away from saying they're a dating app. They object to saying that they're only used for people who want to hook up sexually. That's their issue.
Well, that's,
you know, having said that, though, you could argue that, you know, Tinder, amongst other things you can use it for, you can use it to find a date. I mean, it's not like that that site that got hacked recently. What's it called?
Ashley Madison.
Ashley Madison, where it's essentially, are you married or in a relationship and would you like to cheat? Well, come here and we will sort you out with someone you can have an affair with, you know?
And hopefully we'll get lots of your money we can hide your information, but not really. if you guys want to, we're not going to talk about Ashley Madison. We talked about it a few podcasts back. You can just search Ashley Madison on the site. We had one or two stories on it. It's a very interesting piece about a company based on infidelity and lying, basically lying themselves. It's very funny. Go read.
And once you've done that, remember to clear your browsing history.
Yes. Even if you are a journalist like we are, and you're in a relationship and your search history is full of Ashley Madison cheating things, it doesn't look the best. It's kind of hard to explain.
I do get worried sometimes that the NSA might be spying on my activities, because some of the things that we write about could... I won't say potentially get you into trouble, but it might look suspect. Once again, context is key, because they don't know that we're journalists. But like, I do a lot of security stories and online security, so I've been searching for the darknet. I've been searching articles on the darknet. I've been searching, people that created it, people that make, almost said antimatter. Why would I say antimatter?
The scientists at the Hadron Collider.
Things, you know, like for the darknet, I've done interviews with the creators of the Tor network.
You write stories about Mr. Robot.
Write stories about Mr. Robot. So it never ends. It might look suspect. And I've written a couple of stories where I think to myself at the end, I'm like, oh my God, I mean, this, you know, to an outsider, it could look like I'm trying to do research doing something illegal.
Yeah, but having said that, I mean, what I also think is that if you pinged on the NSA's radar, and I doubt you would, they would also cross-reference that with the fact that the other week you were writing about which spaceship both fictional and fantastical, is the fastest in the galaxy. What was the other thing? That GTA 5 now has a Hulkbuster mod, and they'll probably go, ah, he's a journalist.
Which is all real stories on our website right now.
So just before we go off this little tangent, our new writer Brendan and I were speaking about this very thing not 20 minutes ago, because he made a story about a YouTube video in which a guy on social media, I think he uses Twitter and a few other things,
yeah,
he lures in underage girls to, you know, it's like...
basically, it creates a situation where he shows you how easy it is for pedophiles to groom,
yes,
girls on the web. He obviously himself is not a pedophile. He's literally he's like a hacker, basically showing,
yeah,
this is how easy it could
and
be.
And like when he did it to these girls, their parents were in the room with him.
Right.
So it was
under a controlled, yeah, environment.
Yeah. But Brendan and I were speaking about, we've also read Charlie's stories about Tor and everything. If you are a journalist and you're going to go fire up Tor and go play around there, if you come across some things that are illegal just to view, you know, the legality of that's kind of gray. It's like, I didn't want to look at the stuff. I just needed to research some other stuff, and this just popped up. And it can be quite scary. You can wander into dark places, and hopefully some men in black suits don't show up in the night.
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, while I think always a healthy dose of paranoia is, well, healthy, I also think that If the NSA are using their PRISM program to hunt down threats, they're not going to be targeting either of you guys. I think that you're well off the list.
With that said, mm-hmm, you can read the headline that I wrote in July last year.
All right.
Where it said, according to an investigation by a German newspaper, if you have merely searched online for the terms online privacy or Tor network, you have already been placed on NSA's network and on their watch list. Your chances that you have been flagged by them is pretty good.
Let me put it to you this way. Everybody's on some kind of list from some agency. I
be
guarantee
it. And,
even if you were just born, your parents are probably going to take a picture of you and put you on Facebook and Twitter, and you're already going to be on some kind of list. If you use Google, you're giving away a lot of your information. If you use Gmail, you're giving away a lot of your information. You can almost not do anything without giving away information and landing on a list. Most of it's harmless, though. You know, keep your head about you, but don't think people are going to show up in the night and steal you away.
Yeah. So you heard it here first on HTXT Africa. Make those tinfoil helmets as quickly as you can.
Who do you work for, Clinton? What do you know?
This post was actually sponsored by the tinfoil industry.
So, well, let's move on to something a little less dark than
I was going to say, speaking of a lot of information and we're moving to less information... Mm-hmm. Is apparently South Africa is getting a Netflix competitor.
Yes.
Technically, it's not really a Netflix competitor because Netflix isn't here.
They're not here.
Technically.
So let's put it as diplomatically as we can. Naspers is going to launch a internet streaming service that will be streaming TV shows and movies, mm-hmm, in South Africa on the 19th of August. Apparently, the network will be called Showmax. And when Netflix eventually launches in South Africa, which we know they will, it will be a direct competition for that.
Yeah.
And just a lot of people might say, oh, they'll be first and they'll be most popular. I guarantee they won't be. Being first to do something is almost never a recipe for success. But I want to ask you two important questions. How much is this service per month? Have they said yet?
This is where the lack of information comes in. The only thing that we know is when the launch is happening. We received the invitation a couple of days ago.
Are we allowed to say?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yes. But I even if I wanted to, I can't tell you where it is.
All right.
I can't tell you what time it is.
Right.
Because on the invitation...
Exactly the invitation we need.
Yes. On the invitation, the location, it just says secret location in Johannesburg.
Oh, I know where that is.
Yeah, I mean...
It's just off the N1, don't you know?
Yeah, just take a left there. But that's not the thing. I want to know, does streaming services in South Africa work, and what would make this one succeed? Because if you have a service like VD, which some people might use, it's 150 Rand a month, and then you have to pay 27 Rand to watch a movie, and you pay 15 Rand or something odd to watch episodes. And obviously then there's the bandwidth on top of that. Not a lot of people use VD. I don't know the exact numbers, but it's not hugely popular.
I have never met a person who has ever mentioned or used their service outside of work.
Exactly. And then you had, and I'm using that in inverted commas, Altex Node, which I know the exact amount of number, the exact number of people that used it or that bought it. We cannot disclose that, but it's not a lot. And they eventually killed it.
The big problem with the Node I found is that you needed to buy the actual thing to use a service. You never want to lock a software service behind hardware. That's just...
Yeah, it was kind of like a...
Unless you're Sony or Xbox.
Yeah.
Or Nintendo.
Or you just use a PC.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of like a DSTV decoder kind of thing. And you plugged it into your PC. I'm thinking about PC now. Plug it into your television. And Bob is your uncle. So you had your television. You had this extra box. Then you had your extra box with the DSTV and stuff. But the thing about Showmax that I want to know is the pricing. What's the pricing going to be? Because you can, if you want to skirt the authorities a little bit, you can get...
Not that we'd ever suggest you do that.
No, never.
No, I don't know anybody that does that. What was that? A cough? A camo cough?
Just let me drink some water.
pricing.
The pricing. So you can get Netflix in South Africa, but you need to go through a VPN.
Yeah.
So Netflix in itself is $10 a month.
Yeah.
So that's already $120.
Yeah.
Then you need to go through a VPN like Unotele, which is $8. So that's another 90-odd rand.
Hmm.
So that's already 200 rand. Let's call it 250.
Right.
To be, on a little bit of the overside. Then you obviously still need your bandwidth.
Yes. And you need a fast connection.
Yeah. Fast is debatable. I hear from other people that 4 meg lines are just perfect. So that's already 250. If Showmax is going to come in below that... then yes, then they might have a shot. From the invitation, we've already seen that they will have Ray Donovan and they will have the Big Bang Theory.
Well, you see, this is the thing, is that for me, it would all come down not just to pricing, but to content.
Which is important.
Yeah, because, the thing about using a VPN with Netflix, because you obviously know that Netflix curates its the catalog by country.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So like what you are able to watch in France is different to what you're able to watch in the UK, which is different to what you're able to watch in the United States. And if they follow that pattern, they're probably going to curate South Africa as well, which means that you will also get, on top of the blockbuster movies and the American TV series, you'll get local content as well. All right. But here's the thing about Netflix. If you've already forked out for that VPN, if you've already forked out for the decent connection, you don't just have your local content. You've got content from every single country that Netflix is currently in. So, that is a shed ton of TV programs and movies. And then, of course, you've also got content which you can't view anywhere other than Netflix. For example, Orange is the New Black or the new Daredevil. House of Cards, you said, was on Mnet. But what's the other one that they've got? Better Call Saul. Right?
I think so. Isn't that on...
The point is it's a Netflix exclusive. They may have sold the rights to have it broadcast terrestrially, but that's your first port of call. Plus, if you don't want to wait for an episode every week and you want to watch the whole shebang, you can go and have a look at it now.
So let's just clarify this, because a lot of people do ask us and they don't understand why Netflix as a service cannot offer... they cannot offer the same content in every country and why we don't have it in South Africa yet. The reason is licensing and creative properties. If you have a show or a movie, it's going to be licensed up the wazoo. And part of licensing it to protect yourself so people don't steal it is you have to specify and you have to pay fees and whatever to get those movies and music and shows in certain countries.
Mm.
And that's why if you're in America, for example, and you buy Netflix, you sometimes can't watch a British show because it's not, they haven't paid the fees to be broadcast there yet. And here's kind of where the stuff gets tricky with VPNs, because if you don't know, VPN basically tells servers that you're communicating with that you're in a different country than you are. So if you're using it with Netflix, you can basically say, hey, I'm in America, now I can watch American shows. I'm now in Britain, I can watch British shows. Now, that's great and all, but the reason, again, that we don't have it yet is because of these licensing issues. So whatever shows this new service brings to us will be shows that either already have a license to be broadcast here, like The Big Bang Theory is on Mnet already. It has, Mnet has already paid for the rights to broadcast it here, or the executives who ever do The Big Bang Theory have already set things in place so it can be broadcast here. So whenever streaming services come about, they have to do the same thing. They need to make sure what they're doing is legal, or they will be sued.
No, they'll just be shut down.
Every which way, and shut down. No, they'll be sued and shut down and lots of horrible things. So don't be frustrated when we don't get it here. It's no good having a service for 2 weeks and it's all fine and good and then they get shut down. Or
well, they wouldn't launch here unless they have all exactly, those licensing rights exactly. in places. But the thing is that it what always blows my mind is that we're still having these debates about licensing, and we're still having these discussions about, you know, how slowly certain networks and certain movie houses are taking to get their product into as many markets as they possibly can, because you know the elephant in the room here is piracy.
Yes.
Like, you know, having grown up in Johannesburg, I remember being a kid and like seeing magazines and videos of all these bands that never toured out here and all this music that was absolutely 100% brilliant but hellishly expensive because you had to buy it on disc.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think kids today have that problem. If they want something and it's not readily available, and it's not readily available at a cheap price, they're just going to steal it. And it's the same thing with shows and movies. If you're not making your product as available as you possibly can in as many markets as possible, and it is available to download digitally, you're looking at losing a lot of money.
On the flip side, if you make your content as easy to consume as possible, people are willing to pay. This has been proven by Steam with the Steam Store that makes billions of dollars because they make their servers so easy to use and they occasionally give lots of nice discounts that people are just taking to it because it's easy and everything's curated. And that's why people love Netflix and Hulu and Spotify. It's because they make it all easy. They, for a small fee, a small to minimum fee, they're letting you get what you want as easily as possible. They sometimes make it more easy than pirating it.
Mm.
And people like ease of use more than they like their money.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
One thing, I was just thinking about it now, one thing that will put me off from it is, like you said, making it as easily accessible as possible. We watch certain programs through the Xbox, and we watch them through a PlayStation. For Showmax, if they are only going to support browsers and mobile phones, I'm out, because I do not want to connect my laptop to the television so that I can watch a show.
100%, yeah.
You know, so that will be a big turn off for me. So unless they have an Xbox app, which I highly doubt, because that would need to be localized. Well, you never know. They could.
You never know, dude. They might be. They might have talked to Microsoft long before this announcement.
That will be a game changer for me.
Yeah. And also, you know, it's fine. You know, a lot of people will now say, oh, well, Xboxes and PlayStations have browsers, but no one wants to use a browser on a console. No one wants to use a little twiddly stick as a mouse and then go and type in with whatever solutions they have. It's just so tedious. An app, a dedicated app is the 100% way to go, and they have to support it.
It's a different experience. It's a different UI as well.
Exactly. You can't then just force a browser into a console and expect it to work. Even though, again, to go back to Steam, when they did Big Picture, they tried to make a browser that works with a controller. It kind of works. It's okay. The biggest improvement they did is when you want to type something in, you use both of the thumbsticks, and it kind of works okay, but nothing's going to substitute for a dedicated app or a keyboard and mouse on a normal browser.
So basically what you're saying is, as long as it's priced properly and as long as it's got decent content and as long as it's found the right platforms, you're in.
Yes.
Well, not just everybody will be in. It's been proven time and time again that they're going to make money. if you do what Nick just said and you're smart about it, you're going to make money. And especially in South Africa where everybody's clamoring for that. And not to slag off DSTV, but DSTV has been around for a long time. In my opinion, it's overpriced just for the way I consume content.
Oh, definitely.
So for me, it's overpriced. For a lot of people I know who have similar content consuming habits as me, it is overpriced and they just don't have it anymore. A lot of people I know don't even have TVs in their homes anymore because they just watch everything on the computer or they have a monitor hooked up to a console and that's how they consume everything.
Yeah.
I tell you something. I think that the last time I watched a live television show was 2012. Because I have just been watching TV on demand through the Xbox One and through my consoles and through browsers for ages. Is, you know, the last time, I think, well, live TV, I suppose if you watch a basketball game in an airport bar, that counts. But that's about it.
That's exactly why. Like, my dad is a perfect example. 90% of the TV he watches is football, soccer, and that's live, and that has SABC has exclusive rights to do that. I can't really convince him. If we did have Netflix in the country, I can't really convince him to switch to that. Because even if there's other cool stuff that he'd want to watch, there's no live soccer for him.
Mm.
And ESPN, does ESPN have a streaming service?
It does have a streaming service. I just know from the Xbox. ESPN is available as through the Xbox app called Sling TV.
Oh, okay.
You can get ESPN and ESPN through
that. I have watched ESPN before, and they don't have the best soccer coverage, and that's like all my dad's interested in. And and my mom also, she loves her series, and they are attached to their DSTV, and they have literally been using it almost since the service came out. So they're going to really have to make huge steps to get people like my parents to leave DSTV.
Yeah.
Or at least use their service on the side.
But speaking of leaving,
yeah,
that is all the time that we have for today. Even though it is Friday, we still need to get back into the office and hash out some stories. So before I cough onto the microphone, Nick, thank you so much for joining me again.
Thank you.
And thank you so much, Clinton. And I hope you have a good weekend, and you guys should have a good weekend, and we will speak to you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.